Make your hobby hubby. Keep your hubby happy when he's a little chubby. He's a happy pappy with Rockin' Spiel.
One more time, Wilma.
Make your hobby hubby. Keep your hubby happy when he's a little chubby. He's a happy pappy with Rockin' Spiel.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to Nerd Orchestra. We are your podcasting headquarters, not for the movies you love, but for the music that accompanies them. I'm your nerdy host, Chuck Dill, and this is episode number 24, the podcast that takes you through a journey of the music that scores your favorite action and adventure movies. Who am I, you ask? I'm the kid who was much more comfortable indoors rather than outdoors. Cartoons rather than sports ball, comics rather than TV, and movies rather than social interaction with my peers. My own little bubble of reality was always filled with the music I loved from movies, cartoons, and TV. However, I never studied music. I was dismissed from my grade school choir, and my guitar lessons went nowhere. My credentials to do a podcast about music are woefully nil. I can only bring the passion. So let's solemnly turn to Dr. Bob from the Checkered Past podcast to find out why he and Dr. Husband are the perfect co-host choices to mitigate this concern.
Well, Chuck, we also are nerds. We also love comics and movies, although on equal footing with TV. But we hate money, so we got terminal degrees in music performance.
And what are we here to talk about tonight?
We don't know. You won't tell us. It's a surprise.
I love your reaction. You're obviously upset.
Surprises. You know how carefully I usually prepare.
So, yes, we are breaking the format once again. We did this once before. We're going to do it again tonight, where I have not shared the topic with Drs. Bob and Drs. Husband. I will just play things and we will talk about it. So let me start that off right now.
In the great hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Aquaman, and those three junior super friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog. Their mission: to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Nice. So, it's our topic this evening, or this afternoon. Theme music from Saturday morning television?
Yes, close. Very close. We are going to be looking at Hoyt Curtin.
Hoyt Curtin.
Hoyt Curtin.
Hoyt Curtin?
Blank looks.
Yes.
Blank looks. Let's see what Computo has to say about Hoyt Curtin. Hoyt Curtin was born on September 9th, 1922, and passed away on December 3rd of 2000. He was an American composer, best known as the musical architect of the Hanna-Barbera sound.
Oh.
His themes defined the studio's animated output from the 50s through the 80s. A graduate of the University of Southern California with a degree in music composition, Curtin began his career writing and arranging for commercials and film trailers before being recruited by William Hanna and Joseph Barbera. His first major work for them was the jazzy, energetic theme to the Rough and Ready Show, 1957, which led to decades of collaboration. Curtin went on to compose or oversee music for nearly all of Hanna-Barbera's major animated series.
You're kidding.
We will be listening to some selections from the 1970s today.
Nice.
Curtin's musical style.
A little trip down memory lane
to our childhood. What a nice surprise.
Curtin's musical style was a blend of big band jazz and early television orchestration and mid-century modern energy, which gave the Hanna-Barbera shows their distinctive rhythmic punch. His work was heavily influenced by the big band sound of Duke Ellington and Count Basie, as well as by the brassy orchestrations common in Hollywood's golden age. For Johnny Quest, Curtin incorporated a more cinematic, adventurous sound inspired by spy films and orchestral jazz of the 1960s. Despite working under tight budgets and production schedules, he managed to create enduring, instantly recognizable melodies that elevated animation scoring to new heights. Curtin's influence can still be felt today. His themes are frequently referenced, reorchestrated, and celebrated as part of the DNA of American television animation. So that's Computo's take. My take is this guy was not a movie composer, and only select geeks even know his name, but I feel like he was still hugely influential in my own personal music taste. I can summon that Super Friends theme in my head at any time of day and night, and it gives me a charge. When I get scared on a roller coaster, I just hum that theme and, and like, all right, we're going. Not that I've been on a roller coaster in a day's age. So, yeah, you guys didn't seem very familiar with the name when I mentioned
it. No, not at all. No. Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Are you reading about him right now?
No.
Are you lying to me?
No. Okay. I was looking up to see what... I knew I had a Flintstones soundtrack somewhere. I was wondering if he wrote the music for the Flintstones.
No. Well, I've got some surprise. So, yeah, that was the 1973 Super Friends theme, the very first season of the Super Friends.
Yes.
So you and I have memories of this. Dr. Husband, do you have any memories of the very first season of Super Friends?
No.
No.
Sorry. Nope.
It played nonstop from 73 to summer of 77.
I mean, if you're asking me if I have memories of the Super Friends, absolutely. Yeah. Do I have memories of the first season? Like sort of say, oh yes, in this season this thing happened or whatever. Hell no.
Marv, Wendy, and Wonder Dog.
Really?
Yeah. No Wonder Twins. This is pre-Wonder Twins.
Nice.
Well, we'll work to get you familiar. Oh, right.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, I remember Gabora the Gorilla Girl and, you know, Apache Chief and Samurai.
Gabora the Gorilla Girl? That's at the Ohio State Fair.
Okay.
Are you thinking of Giganta?
Yes, Giganta, the Gorilla Woman.
Gabora the Gorilla.
Well, she wasn't a Gorilla Woman on the Super Friends, was she? That's in the comics. Very good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You got layers, man.
I've got no fucks to give when it comes to remembering comic facts.
All right, so...
I'm so excited. We're going to listen to, like... Are we going to listen to Johnny Quest?
Are you ready for the next one?
Yes!
Up from the depths, 30 stories high, breathing fire, his hand in the sky, Godzilla! Godzilla!
What a short theme. Up from the depths,
seconds, yeah.
30 stories high. I don't remember the words, but something that rhymes with high, Godzilla.
His man in the sky, it's Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's Godzilla. So that's right, millennials. In the 70s, our culture took a monster movie with an atomic theme message and reduced it to a child's cartoon
with a little sidekick,
with Godzuki. A little Godzilla sidekick.
Yeah.
That's, I know I watched every episode of that program, and I would not have been able to tell you that theme song had lyrics. Or in fact, that there even was a theme song.
I am redeemed. I've remembered something you don't. Good, good, good.
It was Godzilla Power Hour, wasn't it?
It was later. It started off...
Godzilla had his own show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was incorporated into the Godzilla Power Hour, and he was matched up with somebody else.
Okay. Janna of the Jungle, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, yes. But a couple decades ago... we were at a party,
mm-hmm.
and Steph was our friend. Steph was being Steph,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to show off,
mm-hmm.
so I just said up. And Ashton and Katie finished the entire song for me from wherever they were in the house.
Oh, my God. I love that.
So, yeah. So, you watched it too?
Oh, yes. Loved that show.
So, the thing about Godzilla is that he has the Shazam moment in this particular cartoon, which I like to refer to things like, I must do this in order to summon the thing that I need to defeat the menace. I need to say Shazam. I need to form Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, it's a little beeper on the captain's belt, and he has to push the red button
to summon Godzilla.
And it's from immediate.
Yeah.
So there's this one episode where the bad monster has the boat and is shaking the boat, and the captain is just like, I must reach the beeper, and you get that Hanna-Barbera animation of him barely touching the beeper.
Uh-huh.
And then boom, Godzilla flies up out of the water.
Why wasn't the beeper on his belt?
I don't remember, but I do remember that the background music they were using for this scene was the same as Super Friends.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Hanna-Barbera
would like totally recycle music, and they would recycle backgrounds, I guess. Like, yeah, when you'd see characters running, you'd see the same stream over and over and over again.
And Filmation, too, but Filmation more so because they were all American-based animation. And Hanna-Barbera at least shipped it out.
Speaking of Super Friends and backgrounds, I just thought of this the other day. There's an episode of Super Friends from, I believe, 1983 or 81. And in the background is a van, like a business van, which says Gacy's Boys Wear. And how they got that shit through the censors, I'll never know.
What's Gacy's? John Wayne Gacy? Gacy,
the serial killer of boys?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How'd they get that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But somebody was having fun that day.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people paying attention in the 1970s. Yeah. It's a cartoon for kids.
Well, in the 70s on TV, you probably couldn't make out the words, but in Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Brother.
Right. All right. You ready for our next selection?
Yes.
Yes.
In 1976, Scooby-Doo never went away.
No.
But in 76, they came up with a brand new show. It was actually two shows, the mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo Dynamite Hour. But then they repackaged all of it into the Scooby-Doo show.
So was Scrappy-Doo in this one?
No, not okay. yet. The more preferable Scooby-Doo theme from 1969, the original theme, was not by Hoyt Curtin.
Oh, okay.
And this is by Hoyt Curtin, but it's entrenched in that mid-70s, we can't be too scary anymore, because that original season of Scooby-Doo was a little too scary for the kids, I guess. I guess somebody decided along the way. Probably parents.
Libtards.
It's angry parents that form groups and made sure the super friends don't punch anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a couple things going on, and none of it is really spooky. It's more adventuresome and silly. It fluctuates between, but then it has some excitement in it.
Yeah. Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
He's walking a tightrope.
Hoyt Curtin.
Hoyt Curtin.
Can I reveal a secret?
Sure.
I never liked Scooby-Doo.
Me neither.
Really?
No. I mean, I'll watch the Mystery Machine and, you know, Velma and whatever the blonde guy is, Fred and Wilma. No, Velma, Wilma, Fred.
Daphne.
And Daphne. I'll watch one of those episodes, you know, but I fucking hated Scrappy-Doo. Oh, that was the worst.
Oh, he was later.
Oh, that was awful.
Scooby-Dee and Scooby-Dum.
Oh, my God.
Scooby-Dum, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved all the other detective shows with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Dynamutt. I just hated Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I thought Shaggy looked like he needed a bath.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I take great pride in my love of Scooby-Doo because it's like one of the few non-superhero things that I'm into, that I have fond childhood memories of.
Yeah.
If it's not Space 1999, Star Trek, or comic books, it's Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo.
I did like that original theme song. Who wrote that? Do you know?
I'll look it up on computer.
Another episode.
Okay.
Down the road. So yeah, that's interesting. Our friend Steve does not like Scooby-Doo for a very specific reason.
Oh.
And that is, they always unmasked the bad guy and debunked the notion of paranormal things. And he's like, it kind of ruins it. But that never bothered me. All right, you guys are not going to get this one.
You don't know.
You don't know.
I think I kind of do.
Idea what
speed
is.
Buggy?
Well, no. I was going to say Speed Buggy.
Wheeling the Chopper Punch.
No.
Hot Wheels.
No. He's looking at some list.
There's a car in the background.
That's all I know.
Everything about cars.
There's a motorcycle in the background.
Oh.
Is it Evel Knievel?
Team America?
No, but you're so close. You can taste it, but you probably have never heard of it. It's a cartoon called Devlin.
Nope. Never heard of it.
I have heard of that.
From 1974. No, you haven't. It's obviously influenced by Evel Knievel and the explosion of interest in.
I was too young.
Riders, but he travels the nation in a van with a motorcycle set up, doing stunt shows and solving people's troubles. But it's a very exciting, adventure filled theme. That I really like. I never watched the show. I didn't really have a connection to it, but it's a good theme. And to me, I have no musical ability, therefore I have no music imagination, I guess. I wouldn't be able to create new music in my mind, but I'm impressed by those who can. Let me punch out yet another action-adventure theme for a different cartoon and make it different from all the other ones that I've already done.
Yeah. Devlin?
Devlin.
Is it available on disc?
I don't know.
I'll find out.
Maybe we should get together and do the Devlin.
We should get together every Saturday morning and have a programming block of cartoons.
Well, yes. You two can. I have other plans.
What?
I have guitar lesson on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, he does. He has to keep his musical skills sharp.
All right, we ready for the next one?
Yeah. Yes.
And now, here they are, the most daredevil group of daddy drivers to ever whirl their wheels in the wacky races, competing for the title of the world's wackiest racer. The cars are approaching the starting line. First is the Turbo Terrific, driven by Peter Perfect. Next, Rufus Rupcut and Sawtooth in the Buzz Wagon. Maneuvering for position is the Army Surplus Special. Right behind is the Ant Hill Mob in their bulletproof bomb. And there's ingenious inventor, Pat Hendig, in his converter car. Oh, and here's the lovely Penelope Pitstop, the glamour gal of the gas pedal. Next, we have the Bouldermobile with the Swag Brothers, Rock and Gravel. Lurching along is the Creepy Coupe with the Gruesome Susan. And right on their tail is the Red Mac. And there's the Arkansas Chugabug with Luke and Blubber Bear. Sneaking along last is that mean machine with those double-dealing do-batters, Dick Dastardly and his sidekick, Muttley. And even now, they're up to some dirty trick, and they're off to a standing start. And why not? They've been chained to a post by Shifty Dick Dastardly, who shifts into the wrong gear. And away they go on the Way Out Wacky Races.
The Way Out Wacky... The Way Out Wacky Races.
Not wacky, wacky.
There's no H in wacky?
No H.
Oh, but there is an H in whack. Like, I'm going to whack you.
Yes.
Yes.
But wacky is like, ha-ha, where's wacky, Annie and yes. Wacky? I didn't like this show for a particular reason.
Oh, what's that?
I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe these were all pre-existing characters from other shows. That
yes.
Were, and all of those shows were from the 60s when I don't remember any of them.
That is fair.
And also, wasn't Muttley on Hong Kong Phooey or something?
I don't think he was on Hong Kong Phooey, but he was in other stuff, yeah.
Muttley was stupid. He did that asthmatic laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
However, I did remember that I did like one version of Scooby-Doo. The movies when the like Mama Cass and Don Knotts and the Partridge Family.
Batman and Robin.
Cher. Yes. Cher, yes.
I guess it was Sonny and Cher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Andy Griffith.
Don Knotts.
Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was actually 1968, the Wacky Races.
You said this was all going to be the 70s.
I did.
I wasn't even born yet.
But this reran all through the 70s, as a few of the 60s cartoons did. Johnny Quest didn't, because the violence in Johnny Quest is what triggered the parent groups of the late 60s and early 70s.
Snowflakes.
To say, you should parent our children, we shouldn't have to. And cut down on what they perceived as violence in children's television. So the super friends couldn't punch anybody.
Aw, that's too bad.
I know, it is too bad. So it's kind of hard to hear the actual theme because the narration is so prevalent. But it's very different from Devlin. Devlin, to me, sounds like your normal orchestra or very limited orchestra. And this was very jazzy, I guess, would be a word.
Yeah.
Much different instruments and much different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a straight adventure show, obviously, like Devlin was. But
So far, this has been an interesting parade of shows that I never watched.
Right.
So, I mean, I did, of course, watch the first one.
We're gonna get a little bit worse before we get better.
Okay.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yes.
I'm sure you watched this one. You had to have watched this one.
It's Scooby's All-Star Laugh-Olympics, starring Scooby-Doo and the gang.
Scooby-Doo?
Blue Falcon and his mechanical misfit, Dino-Mutt Dog Wonder.
That's me! And introducing the world's first superhero, Captain Caveman, and his mystery-solving companions, the Teen Angels.
Captain Caveman!
And it's Round the World Triple Team competition with the Scooby-Doobies, Yogi Yahooies, and Really Rottens. 45 stars in the Laugh Olympics. Yes, it's Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics.
Ready, set, let's go!
Yeah! Oh my God, I hated this show so much. Oh wow.
Say more.
It was stupid. It was, I don't remember what sort of things it did. It was just like zany adventures, and there were always sorts of zany.
What did they have? A celebrity at the time they were doing, like ABC versus NBC. They're doing a celebrity
Battle of the Network Stars.
Yes.
Yes.
And this was the cartoon version of that.
And I have to ask something. I know that I am sitting here with two people who love Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Especially you, Dr. Bob. Is it my imagination, or did Hanna-Barbera just take the same old crap and recycle it and repackage it over and over and over again? Like, why didn't they just write better cartoons? Right?
They were responsible for filling Saturday Morning,
uh-huh.
them and Filmation and a couple of others.
Mm-hmm.
So they really turned it into a machine. You could churn it out, keep moving.
Yeah.
And there was an interview where... they're like, we don't know why Scooby-Doo was so damn successful, mm-hmm. but it was. And we did everything we could to reproduce that with all these other shows. And it just, nothing ever clicked like Scooby-Doo did. It was something about that formula.
Did they always keep Shaggy with Scooby?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Casey Kasem was always employed as a voiceover actor.
If not for sure. As Robin on the Super Friends.
Oh my God, mind blown. Wow.
Really?
I never knew that he did the voice for Robin, but now I can hear it. Absolutely. Of course. Why didn't that occur to me?
I know.
I'm sorry. I just, like, yes, of course. I just, door unlocked in my brain. Yes.
So back to Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics.
Oh, that piece of crap.
We heard you. Anything?
I think I did like this because it was 45 stars altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of which I knew. Similar to Yogi's Ark.
Right.
Is that what it was called, Yogi's Ark?
There was a Christmas Treasury edition that did this and incorporated the Jetsons as well.
Yes.
Oh, the Jetsons.
Flintstones. But... there was a cartoon movie or something with Yogi doing this?
It was a series. He had a flying ark, and they flew around the world to fight ecological crimes.
Nice.
With, you know, Augie Doggy and Doggy Daddy and Snagglepuss and Huckleberry Hound.
Snagglepuss!
And in fact, I wrote a letter to Hanna-Barbera expressing my love for Yogi's Ark, and I received a lovely, like, press packet. It had like promo placards for Yogi's Ark and the Flintstones. It had all the Flintstones characters nice. On it.
And your mother probably threw it out.
At some point, yes.
Did you have a note with it that said, get a life, kid?
No. There was some kind of letter, thank you for writing, and here are some pictures for your walls and blah, blah, blah. I also wrote to Sid and Marty Krofft and nothing from them.
I don't want listener to think that I don't like any of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, because I am, I loved the Jetsons, loved the Flintstones, loved Yogi Bear, loved that cartoon. And of course,
but you put them all together and you.
God, no, it's like taking everything every piece of thing and throw it like spaghetti at the wall. Just throw it and see what sticks. You know, what gets the ratings? We got to sell cereal, guys.
It was very interesting to me because it's all these characters getting together like an Avengers type situation, a Justice League.
And, mm-hmm.
for silly things. And I liked how they divided the groups. Here's a group of teenagers that solve mysteries that goes in the Scooby Club. Here's a goofy Huckleberry Hound. He goes in the Yogi's team, you know, mm-hmm. and then a team of all the bad guys. Something about that sung to my spreadsheet brain.
Wasn't there a horse that wore a hat?
Quick Draw McGraw.
Quick Draw McGraw, yeah.
The theme is pure chaos.
Yeah.
It's that wonderful late 70s, oh my God, roll out the dancing girls and...
Lots of brass in this.
Well, I was going to say, you're talking about it being a factory. All of these themes have developed a certain tonal language that they share between them.
And my playlist arrangement tries to break that up, but we definitely are in the valley right now.
Hopefully.
And we're about to hit lower than sea level.
This
next one. I'm cheating a little bit because this is something from 1982 that I had either never heard of or forgotten. And it's just terrible. And I'm thinking Hoyt Curtin is just cashing a damn paycheck.
Nanu, nanu.
Yes, Your Menseness?
You won't learn anything about that planet playing games. Go enroll in school.
So I can learn to play games?
No, I mean a regular school. Now go find yourself a place to stay and get huffy.
Just make yourself at home, Mork.
I do remember this show. Didn't he have a little alien sidekick?
Yes. It's pink.
Yeah. And I wasn't it shown at the same time as Laverne and Shirley in the Army?
This is the Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, and the Fonz Hour.
Oh,
the whole hour of this nonsense. And it does have a little sequence of Laverne and Shirley with a cartoon pig.
Oh, yes.
And Fonz has an alien dog or something like that.
Is this when Fonz was time traveling with that girl? Fonzie and Richie were time traveling?
What?
Not the same show. That was a different show.
Okay.
Fonzie time traveling.
Yes, girl. Fonzie and Richie and I think Ralph Mouth. And there was an alien dog and some alien girl.
This perfectly encapsulates the 70s.
Yes.
We got
yes.
three hit shows. Let's churn out a Saturday morning cartoon a couple years too late to capitalize on the true zenith of popularity for these shows. But hey, maybe kids will like Laverne and Shirley in the Army.
I loved it. Are you kidding me? I forgot about the pig until this moment, though. How? I loved all of those Gilligan's Planet.
Gilligan's Planet?
Yes.
How many letters did you write?
Josie the Pussycat's in Outer Space, The Partridge Family 2370 AD.
Oh, Josie the Pussycat's was awesome.
Did he write that?
No way he wrote Josie and the Pussycat's.
So, let's move on to something a bit better.
Josie and the Pussycat's.
Something
guitars and ears for hats.
Memorable.
Who is this superhero? Sarge? No. Rosemary, the telephone operator? No. Henry, the mild-mannered janitor?
Could be. Hong Kong Pooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Pooey, quicker than the human eye. He's got style, a groovy style, and a mob that just won't stop. When the going gets rough, he's super tough with a Hong Kong Phooey chop. Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Fooey, quicker than the human eye. Chicka-chong, ticka-chong, ticka-chaka, ticka-chong, ticka-bop-chock-chop, in the bow wow wow. Hong Kong Fooey, fan-rific!
Ah, that takes me back. Scatman Crothers, right?
Yeah.
Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. Chicka-chong, 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 chicka-chong.
And the Sarge character that was referenced in the opening title there, if you look at his side view posture, it's Donald Trump.
Oh. Perfect. Perfect, yes. Yeah, so Hong Kong Fooey came out in 1974, but Scatman Crothers was killed in The Shining in 1980.
Oh,
he's the only death in that movie.
he didn't really die. It was just a movie, Chuck.
Just a movie. Well, he is dead, Bob, I'm sure. But
yeah, I'm sure.
But he didn't die as a result of filming The Shining, yes. So this is quite the popular theme song.
I
don't know if it's still politically correct.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so we've lost this, and we've lost Fat Albert, which I will
That's
mourn.
That's a great song.
It was so. It's not Hoyt Curtin, so we won't be talking about it today.
Right.
But that's another cartoon I have strong memories for, and one my mother didn't like me watching.
Why?
Black kids.
I have a cover of the Hong Kong Fooey song.
Let's hear it.
This superhero, Sarge?
No!
Rosemary, the telephone operator?
No, I'm in.
Henry, the mild-mannered janitor?
Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Fooey, quicker than a human eye. Oh, he's got style, a groovy smile. When the going gets rough, he's super tough with a Hong Kong Fooey chop. Oh! Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Fooey, oh, he's quicker than the human eye. Oh, tinky bow, tinky down, diddly dong, diddly bow, bow, diddly dong, bow, wow, wow.
Pick it up, 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 pick
1995, they put out a, what do you used to call them, CD.
Uh-huh.
Called Saturday Morning Cartoons Greatest Hits. It's a tribute album of songs from Saturday Morning Children's Television Show.
Yes.
Was that from this?
It was.
Yes. That is truly a really, really good album. And so if you're interested in any of the music or better versions of some of the music, check that out.
I've just been looking up Hoyt Curtin. He wrote the soundtrack for Chomps.
Is that a horror movie?
Chomps? No, it's Wesley Uhr and okay. Valerie Bertinelli.
Ooh.
Wesley Uhr has invented a canine home protection system, acronym Chomps. And his boss is Valerie Bertinelli's dad, and she's in love with him, and the dad doesn't want him to get married, but in the end, it all works out.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's Valerie Bertinelli. You move heaven and earth to make that work out.
Yeah. Wow. It's available on Blu-ray. I have it.
We'll have a Chomps night. All right. That's Hong Kong Fooey. Ready for our next?
Yes.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled. Superman. Batman and Robin. Wonder Woman. Aquaman. And the Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina, with their space monkey, Bleak. Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Dr. Bob, if you had a space monkey, what would you name it?
Oh my gosh. Bosco.
Bosco?
Yeah.
From the 1930s,
yes.
Slightly racist.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Not slightly racist. It's absolutely racist.
full on racism cartoon. Excellent. So, yes, in the 1977, the Super Friends show came back gangbusters. This was the first new cartoons in 4 years. They redid the format. Ted Knight was gone, so he wasn't there to do the narration anymore.
Who was that?
It wasn't Ted Knight. It was the next guy.
The next guy.
Sounds just like Ted Knight.
Does, doesn't it?
He was certainly trying to go for that vibe. But this kind of updated the show to be much more action-packed than the Rescue Friends style that the 1973 season went by. And it introduced Marv, Wendy, and Wonder Dog and kind of upped the ante on all the music.
And the Multicultural Pals.
There really was something called the Multicultural Pals?
Well, no, but it was Apache Chief and Black Lightning, or Black Vulcan, sorry, and Samurai and El Dorado and Rima the Jungle Girl.
El Dorado didn't get introduced in 1977. I think
fine, Chuck, fine.
I'm being pedantic.
Also had Hawk Girl.
It did.
Hawk Girl!
It did.
El Dorado!
Hoyt Curtin was granted 6 U.S. utility patents for his inventions of watertight pipe couplings for irrigation and sprinkler system plumbing.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Batman and Robin!
I can't imagine a more boring factoid.
Well, get ready to live, because he also wrote the soundtrack for Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. And Mesa of Lost Women.
Aquaman!
Ooh. And 1954's Jailbait.
Oh.
Now, I want to find a Mesa of Lost Women.
Timber Tramps.
Timber
that
Tramps.
That sounds like a good one. Is that on DVD?
We're going to have a marathon weekend of Hoyt Curtin.
Timber Tramps!
Wrench! Wrench! Socket! Socket! Plugs!
Motor!
Tires!
Chassis!
Speed volume!
That's me.
They raced it. In my carburetor. Yeah.
Speed buggy!
Speed buggy!
Any memories of Speed Buggy?
Yes.
Speed Buggy was my third favorite automobile program.
So delight us with the other two.
Wheelie and the Chopper Bunch.
Okay.
And Wonderbug.
Okay. So you, what about Arc 2?
I don't consider that an automobile show.
No.
That's a jetpack show.
Did have a jetpack.
Wonderbug.
Yes. They operated out of an automobile.
An RV, yes. As did Shazam.
Yes. So, I haven't been playing these in chronological order, but if you're paying attention, Hoyt's themes get slicker and more later 70s, early 80s polished than something like Speed Buggy, who is early 70s. I think he's 73. And it's looser. It's different instruments. It feels thrown together.
And they have to have a little roll call there at the end.
Yeah.
Speed Buggy!
Aquaman!
Well, Speed Buggy is in the
Laugh Olympics.
Yes, but he's also in the Scooby-Doo style of let's throw some teenagers together.
Yes.
And
instead of a dog, let's have a car.
Right.
I can hear the pitch meeting now.
And since we are in the middle of that pitch meeting, let's just pitch another one.
Most futuristic shock you ever saw.
You look like you're going to be ill.
What the hell was that?
Jabberjaw.
I would never watch anything with a theme song like that.
I watched it, but I did not like Jabberjaw.
No?
No.
But you did watch it.
I did watch it.
Yeah.
You had to watch what was on in those days.
You had to watch what was on.
You couldn't just stream any old thing.
No.
Mm-hmm. Again, in the Scooby-Doo thing, but adding a musical group.
Uh-huh. And a shark.
Yeah, a shark that talked like one of the Three Stooges.
Right. Uh-huh. That's why I didn't like it. It was the shark that talked like one of the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
I don't know which one, Curly or Moe.
I don't know.
Yeah. The bald one.
The one that looks like a shark.
So no, we're not liking this one?
No.
Well, how about...
Lost out in a storm, we went inside a spooky house just hoping to get warm. The dusty clock said 6:30, we knew that it was wrong. When we set the hands to 12, the clock began to fall.
It's a funky phantom!
The spirit of
I loved the Funky Phantom.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Loved it. I would ride my bicycle around the block. And when I learned, I don't know how my mind correlated this, but when I learned to ride without holding the handlebars, I'd ride around the block with no hands and pretend I was Funky Phantom. I guess I'd put my arms up in the air.
In the end, they all go, woo.
Yeah, that must have been it.
Their hands in the
air. Was a ghost cat, and wasn't there also a dog, a live dog?
Yep. They put everything in.
Yes.
Scooby-Doo is making so much money. We got to reproduce this. We got teenagers. We got a dune buggy they ride around in.
Yes.
Ghosts. They solve mysteries, but they missed the trick on the band. They didn't have. They didn't have a band.
When was that? 1976.
Was it Funky Phantom?
To coincide with the bicentennial?
Was 1971.
Oh, geez.
Hi.
What?
Oh, I was born that year.
You were.
Listeners, you have no idea the looks I'm getting from Dr. Husband about some of these quote-unquote music.
Some of them aren't even good, even.
I like a theme song that tells you the whole origin story right up front.
Rather than Devlin that just gives you the music.
Yeah. This has a nice story. It tells you how they found the Funky Phantom, in case you're new.
Defending the Funky Phantom. Don't be talking bad about the Funky Phantom in this household.
No.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to 1977 and something you might be familiar with.
Captain Caveman!
Set free by the Teen Angels from his prehistoric block of glacier ice comes the world's first superhero, Captain Caveman! Now the constant companion to the Teen Angels, Brenda, Dee Dee, and Taffy in their hilarious and sometimes scary mystery missions. Get ready for Captain Caveman! Ooh. And the Teen Angels!
Those Teen Angels, man.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Casper also have Teen Angels?
Buxy, Legsy, and Hipsy. What are their names?
Taffy, Busty, Taffy,
Busty,
and
Busty,
Laffy.
Legsy, and Hipsy.
Blondie.
But seriously, it's the 21st century. Why have we not found a frozen caveman in a block of ice?
Right.
We've got mammoths. We've got cave lions.
What was the Iceman Cometh again?
That was Utsi, the Iceman.
Utsi?
Yes. He wasn't a caveman. He was from Neolithic times.
No.
The Bronze Age.
No.
I'm talking full-on Neanderthal frozen in a block of ice. There's got to be one out there.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a shared vacation.
To Siberia.
I'll buy some pics.
Okay.
You in?
No, sure.
Yeah.
Bring a hairdryer so we can thaw him out.
And when we find him, what are you going to yell?
Captain Caveman!
Wasn't he filthy? Didn't he just pull things out of his body hair?
Yes.
Gadgets
yes.
and things?
Yes.
Like in the opening intro, he pulls a safe out and then eats it.
Yeah, knits.
It's like Inspector Gadget.
Bed bugs. Filthy.
And he too was in the Left Olympics.
Yes, he was.
Inspector Gadget.
That's 80s. That's not even network television.
No.
Okay.
You have to leave. I'm kidding. The whole audience got upset at the fact that you might be leaving the room, so we will keep him here. For our next one, Captain Caveman was also the Scooby-Doo formula.
Yeah.
But listen to this, guys. Instead of a dog, we'll have an unfrozen caveman.
That sounds like gold. Let's run with it.
It's Marty. He pitches the same thing every season. And then it'll be a ghost. And wait, a talking dune buggy.
Yeah. And listen, with the caveman, the detective teens are going to be all girls. Like Nancy Drew.
Sweet, a groovy song, yeah.
Did he write Josie and the Pussycats?
Unclear.
Because Wikipedia says he wrote Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space.
He was the head of all Hanna-Barbera composition at the time. Two gentlemen that are credited directly with the theme are Danny Jansen and Bobby Young. Danny Jansen was the show's principal composer and music producer. He had previously written songs for the Partridge Family and other pop projects, and he was hired by Hanna-Barbera to give Josie a genuine radio pop sound.
Mission accomplished.
Bobby Young, co-composer, musical arranger, who worked with Jansen to shape the sound. But some sources say Hoyt Corton had his fingers in that because he had his fingers in all of Hanna-Barbera's openings. And I couldn't resist throwing it into this list.
It's the second greatest cartoon song ever written.
And the first?
You have to ask.
Is it the Super Friends?
This is not a theme song. This is just a song from the Jetsons. Eep, op, ork, ah.
Is that Hoyt?
Eep, op,
it ork, it must be because he wrote the Jetsons theme.
Yeah.
Eep. And that means I love you.
Nice.
Hip hop, ork, ah ah.
According to the Jetsons wiki, Hip hop, ork, ah ah was written by Hoyt Curtin with William Hanna and Joseph Barbera.
Nice. What year?
Jetsons was 62, and this is like the second episode.
Jetsons. Come on, ride with me. Come on, fly with me.
That is awesome. For Josie and the Pussycats, what memories have you?
I
watched all the reruns. I watched it all the time.
I remember Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space, but yeah. I don't really remember the first version, except for the theme song.
I watched both as a kid, mm-hmm. and it was one of those things where I'm like, I don't know why I like this, but I like this. There's not a superhero in sight, but they're in a spaceship. Anyways.
And I do like, on the opening of Josie and the Pussycats, the drummer, what's her name? Or I guess whenever they're performing,
right?
The animation on the drummer is like rotoscoped or something. Oh, it's right. Awesome.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things going on here with this show. One, it is the Scooby-Doo format. Let's get a band together of teenagers and a anthropomorphic cat and go solve mysteries all over the world. And then let's do it in outer space for our next season. It's got Casey Kasem.
Yes.
As one of the characters. But it is interesting because... Archie hit it big with the Archie's cartoon show in the late 60s by yes. Filmation. So Filmation still had the rights to the Archies, but here's Hanna-Barbera doing Josie and the Pussycats.
Which were Archie characters in comics,
yes,
correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Published by Archie Comics. So yeah, Archie was extremely popular in the 60s and 70s and 80s. So you can't be a comic book collector from that era and not have had some Archies mysteriously, accidentally end up in your collection.
I never had an Archie comic book.
Did you ever get a Whitman 3-pack?
Not with Archies in it.
No, you couldn't tell what was in the middle.
Sure you could. You get your fingers in there.
Do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Nope.
All right, we'll move on. So, yeah, Josie and the Pussycat, fantastic, and it meets that 70s cartoon thing. It's probably one of the pinnacles. I always liked this show, and I was the only one I know who did.
Ah! The Amazing Jan.
Charlie Jan of the Jan Clan. That's where it's at.
Are you not familiar with Charlie Chan?
Not at all. I mean, I know the character of Charlie Chan, but
it's the same thing.
So I mean, now he has seven kids and a dog. Well, what kind of pet did they have?
A cat, probably.
I think
a cat.
It was a dog that was too hairy to tell what it was.
Oh.
Now, he's got, and they and the kids, they form a band and play music.
Oh, my God.
Ten children and their dog Choo Choo.
Oh, what a horrible show. It sounds terrible.
You bastard.
And they travel around the world in the Chan van.
Oh, it's horrible.
The Chan van, they can press a button on the console and change it to a different vehicle.
Oh, my God.
So they can be in disguise and follow the crooks.
That's so stupid.
What? What? That theme song is awesome. How it's all whispery.
The Amazing Chan.
It's wonderful.
As the voice of the title character, Ki Luk is to date the only actor of Chinese ancestry to play the part in any screen adaptation.
It's very upsetting.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting.
The Amazing Chan.
I had a Hanna-Barbera puzzle for Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan. Like one of those cheapo dollar, you know, way below my skill level puzzles.
That's awful.
Now, I did not have Archie comics, but I had every Charlton Hanna-Barbera comic, including Charlie Chan and the Chan Clan.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that. That would be another podcast. We'll go through... We'll go through every Hanna-Barbera Charlton comic together.
Yes!
Sounds like I've died and gone to hell. Didn't I buy you a Hanna-Barbera collection book for one of our Christmases? Like a big, don't you have like a big Hanna-Barbera, one of your big books?
It wouldn't be for comics. It'd probably Hanna-Barbera animation art.
Yeah,
or
I'm thinking
like
it was animation.
That.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say you never saw The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan?
No.
Is it insensitive?
There was so... Yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's...
I don't know. I haven't seen it since I was six.
There probably are some racial tropes. Chan,
you know, I'm divided. Like, he is the heroic figure. He's the he's the smartest guy in every room. You know, but I, at the same time, they're kind of winking and nudging. Hey, look, there's this guy knows more than white people. Isn't that funny? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I can fall with that. So better safe than sorry. All right. Let's go to 1971. Little catchy.
When, first of all, Teenage Bam Bam might have been my first crush.
Wow. I think you've grown up to look a little bit like Teenage Bam Bam.
Obviously. And my mind was blown after growing up seeing Flintstones reruns. Then all of a sudden, Pebbles and Bam Bam are grown up teenagers.
So you saw the Teenage show first?
No, I saw the Flintstones reruns first. But, you know, in the world of animation and comics, when no character ever evolves or changes, right. And then all of a sudden Pebbles and Bam Bam are grown up.
Right.
Do you know the voices of Pebbles and Bam Bam?
No.
Pebbles is Sally Struthers.
Oh, nice.
Bam Bam is Jay North, who played Dennis the Menace on TV.
Right. Yeah, this show, they... are a group of teenagers
with a rock band
with a rock band, and they drive around in a prehistoric dune buggy.
Yes.
Hanna-Barbera had a formula, and they stuck the fuck to it.
They sure did.
And only, I think Bam Bam played the drums because he couldn't sing. He could only sing in the shower. And so there was one episode where they wheeled a shower out onto the stage so that Bam Bam could sing the lead vocals.
Yeah. And that is that when your crush started or culminated?
It didn't show anything. He had that little turtle shell hat. That was awesome.
Was it?
And their little friends, Penny and Schleprock.
Oh, I remember Schleprock. Why do I remember Schleprock?
Well, how could you forget him?
It's the eternal question. Why do I remember Schleprock? People all over the world are answering. All right. You'll permit me?
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time. The Legion of Doom. Dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. The Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
The best Super Friends.
Many, many, many people feel that that was the best season of Super Friends, the closest it ever got to being a Justice League comic book. And with every episode also including Green Lantern, Flash, Hawkman, Samurai, Black Vulcan, Apache Chief.
You have these on DVD, right?
Of course. Blu-ray, actually. Okay. But no Rima, no Hawkgirl.
No Rima, no Hawkgirl. No Adam, no Green Arrow, no Plastic Man.
Oh, my God.
What?
Are you going to play the theme song to Plastic Man?
No.
Because I hated that show.
Wasn't Hanna-Barbera, but remember the live-action inserts?
Yeah. Well, actually, no. I only remember reading about them in Tomorrow's Magazine publications.
Mm. Oh.
I never got to see the live-action inserts.
They're on YouTube.
Yeah, well, I've seen them as an adult.
Okay.
So, yeah, this theme is different. It's still Super Friends. It's still recognizably Super Friends, but it is different. It has a more sinister timbre to it. Is timbre a word?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word? Did I use a word correctly?
Yes.
Ooh, look at me. Look at me. And it's very exciting. And it was my answering machine message forever. And everyone hated me because they had to wait through that thing.
The whole theme?
It's only a minute. Mm. But yeah, my friends are begging me to change it.
Remember answering machines?
I do.
My question, Chuck, is who liked you enough to leave a message for you?
Your employees at Blockbuster.
Bill collectors. Oh, you guys are so mean. Yeah. Is it the best Super Friends theme song?
Maybe not theme song, but it is the best Super Friends show.
Yeah. You, sir, look like you want to go downstairs and watch it right now.
I do.
Can be arranged. But we have to start at the beginning with Marvin and Wendy.
The sigh.
Dr. Husband just turned the color of asparagus. All right, you won't get this one.
Globetrotters, oh yeah. Globetrotters, come on. Going around the world and coming home again. Playing around the world,
How would you think we wouldn't get that?
I forgot that they were like, every second, Globetrotters.
Is this the one where they turned into superheroes?
No. This is the Globetrotters from 1970.
Okay.
But it is the same animation models that they would later use in Globetrotters Meet Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
And then Super Globetrotters.
Yeah, I didn't know the original Globetrotters show because I wouldn't have been born yet. But I did see the other Globetrotters shows, yeah, which I loved.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is so funny because, like, I can't, there's no accounting for my taste at all. Like, I just sort of talk about these shows that I hate, and yet I'm watch a basketball team run around with Scooby-Doo and solve mysteries. What the hell?
Well, this version of Globetrotters, they had a dog, and they did travel the world solving problems and mysteries.
Okay.
That was the Hanna-Barbera theme. I was going to put the Super Globetrotters, but I stumbled upon this theme, and it was just so good that I was like,
Globetrotters. That's got some soul.
Yeah.
Nice. And Hoyt was very, 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 very white.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he had time to compose that. What with his sprinkler fixtures side gig.
All right. I'm not sure about this next one. We'll try it out.
The Hair Bear Bunch?
The Hair Bear Bunch from 1971. The theme song just sounds like pure chaos.
Garbage.
Never saw it. Never saw the Hair Bear Bunch.
And I think that that was, of course, intentional.
Yes.
We talk about the difference between the cartoons of today and yesterday and how frenetic and quick the modern cartoons move and how slowly. But this opening, I'm just like, this could... there's one show that I hated, a recent one, Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the animation style made me want to have a fit and lie on the floor. But this theme song, I think, could match that particular show. So not a Hair Bear Bunch guy.
No, surprisingly.
I think I barely remember. That must have been programmed against something else that I liked better.
But they did have a Charlton comic, I think.
Probably, yes.
All right. And I'm not personally familiar with this one, but it's a good theme.
This is the year 2020. The place is the Challenger Seamount, the top of an underwater mountain. A complex beneath the sea. 250 men, women, and children live here, each of them a scientist pioneer. For this is our last frontier, a hostile environment which may hold the key to tomorrow. Each day, these oceanauts meet new challenges as they build their city beneath the sea. This is SeaLab 2020.
Love that bass.
This is SeaLab. They all have COVID. I had no knowledge of this show until the Cartoon Network version.
Yep. I think it was a one season thing. I never caught it. It was 1972. But I definitely prefer, as I'm sure this will shock you, Hoyt's action adventure work to his his silly stuff.
That slaps, as the kids would say.
Yeah. And I regret not watching that show, so I think we should get together and on Saturday mornings and watch it, our secret Saturday morning club, while Dr. Husband is off having an affair with his guitar teacher. Is that what you said you were doing?
Yes, I'm having an affair with my guitar teacher.
I knew it.
Yes. She's amazing.
I knew that too.
Deep in the heart of the Amazon, the Butler family was exploring an uncharted river canyon. Suddenly, caught up in a violent whirlpool, they were propelled through an underground cavern and flung into a hostile world of giant prehistoric creatures. A world that time forgot. Now befriended by a family of cave dwellers, each day is an adventure in survival for the Butlers. In the Valley of the Dinosaurs.
How many cartoons did they have to create?
Well, hear me out. So this show is going to have dinosaurs, also teenagers, and a dog.
Will there be a rock band?
No rock band.
Okay.
But there will be rocks, because they're cavemen. I think I also had a crush on the caveman son. I think I have a thing for caveman.
And I have noticed how hairy Dr. Husband is.
What is the name of that show again?
Valley of the Dinosaurs.
About
it's available on DVD. I have it.
Family on a raft that gets sucked into a dinosaur valley. A cartoon that Hanna-Barbera did in 1974, the same year that Land of the Lost came out.
Imagine that. It's like a Doom Patrol X-Men situation.
Yeah. Man-Thing, Swamp-Thing. Pick your poison.
Well, I'll pick Man-Thing if we're going to make a choice.
You mean giant-sized Man-Thing. So you did you watch the show?
Oh, yes. Religiously.
It must have been on something opposite something else, because I watched the Saturday morning preview that had this in it the night before and was all excited about this show specifically. Mm-hmm. And I have no memories of actually watching the show.
Well, Chuck, I have it on DVD, the whole series. Also several of the Charlton comic books.
We will add it to our Saturday morning rotation.
God.
Also, I believe I had a collection of trading cards that came in Wonder Bread with this show. Even though my family did not eat Wonder Bread, I somehow convinced my mother to buy Wonder Bread specially so I could get the trading cards.
Do you have the DC Comics trading cards from Wonder Bread?
No. Because I wasn't reading superheroes then.
Right. Nerd.
Mm-hmm. I was only reading Charlton Hanna-Barbera adaptions. And Harvey's.
Wow. Valley of the Dinosaurs.
I need to go back in time and make friends with you.
Yeah, you do.
It's the world's greatest super friends, Batman and Robin, Superman, Wonder Woman and Aquaman, the Wonder Twins, banded together to protect the universe from the forces of evil, the Super Friends. Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind. The world's greatest super friends.
Super friends!
1979 version of the show.
Yeah. Wasn't it all reruns?
No. I think this was the season that introduced the idea of literary concepts.
Oh, Planet of Oz.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Frankenstein.
Uh-huh.
And Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But the theme song is different in that it breaks things up and it opened. I think it's the weakest of Hoyt's theme, Super Friends themes, but it's still great. There's chaos and danger and whatever in the music in the beginning, and then the familiar Super Friends theme song hits about in the middle. And swells. You know how I like my swelling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoy that. So I do have a running playlist with just different versions of Super Friends themes.
Of course you do.
I always get my best numbers when I... We are nearing the end. I know that you will be upset to hear that. But I have... something else to play. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Hoyt Curtin stuff.
Call the roll, call the roll, call the roll, call the roll, call the roll of the Justice League of America.
Superman!
Here!
Aquaman!
Here!
Wonder Woman!
Here!
Flash!
Here!
Metamorpho!
Here!
Plastic Man!
Here!
And Batman!
Yeah, here they come, hey, look out, jump, it's the Justice League, the Justice League. Superheroes all always on the ball, it's the Justice League, the Justice League. It takes big trouble with a capital B, a super colossal calamity, a tremendous, stupendous catastrophe to bring them all out swinging. And when they're swinging, man, they're bringing big trouble with a capital T for any super enemy on Earth or in space or land or sea. Hey, do they put on a show anywhere the four winds blow? When they get the call, watch them go. The Justice League, yeah, the Justice League. Oh, the Justice League.
Yes. So it's not... confirmed or set in stone, but everyone agrees that this was an early Hoyt Curtin work.
And did he also write the Metamorpho and
you think Plastic he did the whole Man's?
Oh, he must have done the whole album.
It's thought that he did.
I had this album as a child. I fucking loved it. Nice. And I was so excited when I learned that you knew the same album and you knew the songs too.
Yes.
Dating early on, I was like, oh my God, I found my soulmate.
And this is used in every episode of the Checkered Past podcast.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And you did not know that Hoyt Curtin.
I did not.
Architect of the Super Friends music was part of this. So yeah, that is a wonderful theme. I urge our non-comic book listeners to go and do some studying under the umbrella of this. All right, one more.
By the way, that record,
yeah,
the theme songs are great. The stories are awful.
I don't think I ever listened to the stories. Just the
yeah, they're songs. Awful. They're awful.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Metamorpho,
metamorpho.
The Element Man.
Wonder Woman fights some woman who's
fire giant.
Like Brunhilde, right?
Brunhilde,
and yeah.
Metamorpho fights fire giants. Somebody.
We'll have to sit around the old-timey radio and sit and listen to the stories.
I have a record player.
Yeah, we have a Victrola downstairs.
We can do that. All right, one more theme to... and this is a little off-model. This is very, very recent compared to what we've been listening to. But it is Super Friends, so stow your cynicism, mister.
From my vantage point, I really need to leave. Civil defense has informed me that the surrounding areas are in ruin. I see some people running now. And the opinion of this reporter, if this nation, or in fact the world, ever needed heroes, that time is now. That time is now.
So you're not familiar?
I mean, I know it's a Super Friends theme, but like, which? I mean, how do I find it on Spotify?
I will help you out with that. Are you familiar?
No,
really. Oh, this is wonderful. Every time I listen to this, I feel like I could do anything. Like I could take on all of MAGA, just me alone. This is called That Time Is Now, and it is a promo tribute spot that aired by Cartoon Network around the late 1990s or early 2000s, highlighting the Super Friends. The groovy style branding, this is Computo's input on it. The groovy style branding, Cartoon Network's promotional terminology, uses a reworked version of the original Super Friends theme music, and the spot's full title is often given as Super Friends That Time Is Now. The promo features the familiar narration in the opinion of this reporter. If this nation, or in fact the world, ever needed heroes, that time is now. Paired with the heroic visuals of the Super Friends team. Hoyt Curtin composed the original main title theme music for many of the Super Friends series. And That Time Is Now promo uses Curtin's original heroic theme as its music base, though adapted and remixed for the modern promo format, with additional production by Michael Kohler, according to fan sources. In this sense, the promo is a tribute band refresh that leverages Curtin's composition to evoke that classic, heroic Saturday morning feel while positioning the franchise for a new generation of viewers on Cartoon Network. Why does it matter? The reuse of Curtin's theme underscores how powerful and iconic his work on Super Friends was. Decades later, his music still carried the emotional weight and recognizability to anchor a brand tribute. The promo is an example of intergeneration branding in children's television, Hanna-Barbera-era assets being updated for new networks and audiences. And then Computo told me, for your podcast topic of orchestral soundtracks and genre TV, this is a neat case study of how a composer's theme transcends its original show and becomes part of network identity and nostalgia marketing.
Nice.
I love it.
I love it too.
I love it for all the things that Computo boiled down. When I first heard it, because it was a commercial, you can still find it on YouTube. And it's not, you know, flashing Cartoon Network or Super Friends. It doesn't have to, because you know what it is. You know
what
it is. It's just a promo thing. So.
That time is now?
Yep. That time is now. All right. That is what I had. That was my agenda for today. What did you guys think?
Well, it just makes me want to sit down and watch.
Sorry, I'm saving it. I'm sorry to say. Go ahead.
Just makes me want to sit down and watch cartoons tomorrow instead of working.
I fully endorse this plan.
I love this. Oh, I don't have a playlist to put this on, do I?
Well, I'm going to actually send Dr. Bob all the music that I've collected.
Nice.
For this, for his use. So you can scoop that off of,
yes,
of that.
Nice.
So, folks, that's all for today. Please do the like and subscribe tango when you get a chance and are feeling charitable. If you've got thoughts you're burning to share with us, Dr. Bob will tell you where you can write your missives.
Nerd_orchestra on Instagram or everywhere else at GoGoCheckPod.
If you'd like to contact me directly, you can message me through Instagram at AquaDCD, that's AQUADCD, or email me at AquaDCD@Comcast.net. I highly recommend our sister podcast, the Checkered Past Podcast. Dr. Bob and Dr. Husband take an in-depth look at DC checkerboard-covered comics of the 1960s. Give it a listen and marvel how Dr. Husband turns into Mrs. Twitchy Curtains and derails the comic conversation with his wonderful squirrel chasing. I think that's the true draw of the show. That's why you have the millions of listeners that you do. Next time on an all-new Nerd Orchestra. Are you into LARPing?
No.
Do you like to run around in the woods wearing pajamas and brandishing a plastic sword?
I wish.
Have you ever tried to swing on a tree vine? Or, yes, like me, have you imagined yourself doing these things while hiking with the dreadful Boy Scouts? Well, then, if you are in for a treat as we go into the woods and plot to rescue missing maidens next time on an all-new Nerd Orchestra. And with that, we close things out by rolling the credits and acknowledging that we've come to
the end.
Now, kids, Santa's going to sing you a little song about Dino the Dinosaur's Christmas tree. And while I sing, you can watch the pictures. Ready?
Ready!
All right, here we go. Dino the dinosaur heard some children say, we don't have a Christmas tree to trim for Christmas Day. So Dino the dinosaur said, I mustn't fail. And he found a tree and sawed it down with his funny tail. And the children were surprised and said, who trimmed this lovely tree? And who do you think just gave a wink and smiled secretly? He, Dino the dinosaur, felt proud when Santa called. That's the finest tree I ever did see. Merry Christmas, one and all. Merry Christmas, one and all.